I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
NFL insider and Hall of Fame voter Jason Cole joins us here on The Fan. Jason, Jody Mack, how was your Christmas?
Oh, everything was beautiful. How was yours?
I can't complain. I got some nice stuff. Socks. Got plenty of socks. Always get socks. Love socks.
Are they sitting in the back of the dresser?
Already. I put them away. I now have 4 packs of new socks that I can get to at some point over the next year and change or somewhere. Sometimes socks don't even get opened up over the course of a year. They last over a year before they're ever even opened up. We'll see if I do that good again this year. Yes, okay. You and I talked earlier this week. Looking forward to chatting you up again here. Let me jump into something that happened within the last hour and a half here. I had a call on my national show earlier this week from a Jaguar fan who couldn't believe that the owner had come out and hinted that his general manager was still his general manager and his coach was still his coach. And I told the caller, well, you know Shad Khan can change his mind and that's not written in stone. And if he so changes his mind, there'll be a change down there. And I believe that's going to be the case with Doug Marrone. Well, within 48 hours, he changed his mind. And they announced today that he's coaching tomorrow, but then will be relieved of duties thereafter. Why the timing?
Well, I don't know if they... Look, I'm not sure that this was supposed to get out. Does that make sense?
Okay.
So, this was not an official announcement. It sounds like. I think it just got out that he was told that this was going to happen, and maybe it's a way for people to know that Marrone is available a little bit faster, which is a classic, that's a classic agent move. In other words, I know bad news is coming. Let me get it out of the way as fast as possible so that I can get my guy on a list for other jobs as soon as possible. And remember the year that Indianapolis was going into Denver for the playoff game against Manning and the Broncos. And on the morning of the game, Jay Glazer broke that John Fox would be out if they lost the game. Well, that came from John Fox because he wanted Chicago to know that he was going to be available as a head coach because they had an opening and he wanted to be able to get the Chicago job. And that's exactly how it ultimately worked out. John Fox ended up with the Bears because he got fired. So
you think this comes from Marrone's agent. Why do you think Khan decided to make the decision to let Marrone know ahead of time, listen, I'm going to ask you to coach on Sunday, but we're going in another direction as soon as the game's over and done with?
He made the decision. Why keep it under wraps? And he probably went in there and said, look, you can coach the game or not. I can make putting somebody else in charge. Then Marrone probably sitting there going, oh, well, I'll coach the game out because that's how he chooses to do it. So I think it's also probably a little bit of a counter to the report that came out on NFL Network earlier this week where Ian Rappaport said there was a chance that Marrone and Dave Caldwell could survive this.
Right.
So, you don't want to keep people hanging. If you've made a decision, you're going to move on. You've got another decision to make. Be upfront and be honest with people. The timing for these things is never good, no matter what day you do them.
Fair enough. And this is not a fair question because I know you don't cover the Jacksonville Jags on a day-in, day-out basis, but you cover the whole league. How do you think it plays for the players? The way that it is transpired, Marrone is done. This is his last game. Everybody knows it. Do they go out and win one for the Gipper? Do they take the attitude of, well, this guy's not going to decide my fate, so it doesn't really matter. I'll do what I do, but I'm not going above and beyond. I got to report to somebody else next year. How do you think the Jags react with their play tomorrow against the Colts?
I don't know. I think that's one of those classic ones where we're going to judge it based on the result.
Right.
Like, if they play really well, we're all going to sit there and go, oh, they love Doug Marrone and they're playing hard for him and wanted to send him out on a high note, right? And even the players will say that. And if they play really, really poorly, it's like, well, this was a bad decision. They shouldn't have done this before the game, or they don't really care about Doug Marrone and all those other things. I think that this team, you know, they're out of it. And some of those guys are going to be playing really, really hard to impress ownership and upper management or to put the best film out there as possible. Some of those guys are just going to mail it in, which is human nature. I think they're more likely to get less than full effort no matter what tomorrow. But I don't believe, like, Doug Marrone's not going to come in tonight with some, you know, great speech that everybody's going to sit there and go, oh, yeah, that really turned the tide for us on Sunday. I don't really see that.
Yeah, nor do I. Jason Cole yeah. here with us on The Fan, NFL Insider. Right, speaking of coaches and future and ownership's decision, report in New York here today in the Post that there may be a split between the two owners of the New York Giants as to the future of Pat Shurmur, that Mr. Tisch thinks it's time for a change, and Mr. Mara might be willing to see tomorrow's game, and the Giants finishing on a little bit of a win streak at the end of the season could save his job. How do you break a tie like that?
In the case of a tie between Mara and Tisch, it's usually broken by Mara. Right? Because Mara's there every day. And look, Steve Tisch is a really wonderful guy, and he's been a good partner to John Mara. Let me put it this way. For two people who have equal partnership in the same asset, those guys have made this work in a very seamless way. And that's partly because Steve Tisch, you know, lives in L.A. He's kind of a playboy, having a good time with, you know, people in New York know Steve Tisch, right? I mean, like, it's not a big mystery. And he leaves the team for John to run, right? And so I think that if they sit down and have a discussion and Steve Tisch looks across the table and says, you know, I really think he ought to go. And John Mara says, you know, I hear you and I'm not real happy with how he's doing either, but I'd like to stick with him another year because I don't like what's out there. Steve Tisch is going to look across the table and goes, okay, John, you know, I'll go with it. That's how those two operate. There's not some battle for supremacy. Now, maybe there will be, you know, maybe something's changed and Steve Tisch is going to get into a power play, but I'd be shocked by that. Like, that's just not who he is. Steve Tisch is a guy who's like, I wake up every day in Malibu. My life is good, you know? Like, okay, if the Giants win, it's even better. That's how I see it.
Okay, but the scores do get all the way out to Malibu, and he does know they lost 9 in a row, and that's probably why he has the feeling that he has.
Sure. There's ample reason to sit there and say that Pat Shurmur should go. Okay, and then there's ample reason to say he should stay, such as you would like to have the person who drafted Daniel Jones and believes in Daniel Jones get a shot to actually coach Daniel Jones and not bring in the next coach who might sit there and say, well, you know, I see all these flaws in Daniel Jones and I don't really believe in him. What do you have then? You know, like, that doesn't make any sense to me. And so you live with the results a little bit longer, but that is part of the whole operation of keeping a coach in a year when you are then going to draft a quarterback. You want to have stability at that coach position and continue them on and having that quarterback learn under that coach and have some consistency under that coach rather than changing. I mean, if you look at Jameis Winston, right, he's had three head coaches in 5 years. The guy who originally drafted him into the league, you know, Lovie Smith, is gone. And was that a good thing for Jameis Winston to go through? I would argue no, it's not. It has not made him a better quarterback. I don't know that you can make him a better quarterback and that the turnover problems might still exist, but that's not the consistency that you want.
Fair enough. All right, Jets in a similar, not exactly the same, but a similar situation. Underachieving year, not as bad as the Giants. Their head coach has only been here 1 year as compared to two with the Giants. But week in and week out, at times it feels like to me, as bad as the Giants have been, the Jets were almost more dysfunctional. And that's why a whole bunch of Jet fans want to see an immediate change. I'm getting a feeling less and less that that's actually a possibility. Has this season been bad enough that for the Jets that the owner should at least be considering a change at head coach?
Look, there are things that I really like about Adam Gase, and there are some things that I don't like about Adam Gase. And one of the things that I don't like about Adam Gase is something that he doesn't even control, but that people within New York can probably relate to. And that is, he got fired in Miami, which was not necessarily all his fault, and maybe shouldn't have happened. But instead of being out there on the market and having to wait for a year or two for a next chance and to basically figure out what went wrong in Miami and where he was to blame, he immediately got another job. And the last person who had that happen this fast without the experience of learning what they did wrong the first time around or, you know, going through it was Eric Mangini, right? Who went from the Jets, got fired, went immediately to Cleveland, and the same old problems that Eric Mangini had in New York, you know, rose to the top in Cleveland, and he didn't fix anything. And so I think that Adam suffers from that. When you get into that, you know, that merry-go-round of coaches and you keep doing this, it's really hard to break out. And I think that Adam Gase has enough there that I want to nurture and try and change and try and fix what's wrong with him rather than tossing him out. It's sort of like, remember when the Giants were going through so much hell with Coughlin, you know, for a few years, and they said, and Mara and of course he went to him and said, look, you need to calm down on some of your rules and be more engaging with the players, right? And that was the year that they won their first Super Bowl under Coughlin. He learned to lighten up, and then they won a second one under Coughlin because he had bosses, managers, who nurtured him. And maybe you can do that with Adam Gase. I would at least like to see another year or two of them trying to nurture that out of Adam Gase.
Jason Cole here with us on The Fan, talking NFL. All right, we got time to talk about the biggest game tomorrow. A whole bunch of playoff implications, but the biggest game is the Sunday nighter between Seattle and San Francisco. Seattle just signed their running back tandem about 20 minutes ago. I know it's a couple days, but you get the drift.
Same idea.
Coming out of nowhere, Turpin's been out for months. Bespode's been out all year. Do you think Pete Carroll will just say, the hell with it, we're going to run the football because we need to run the football? That's what's made us good. That's what made Russell Wilson good, was the fact that we've never been a one-dimensional team. Or do you think if these guys get off to slow starts, he says, Russell, it's kind of on you. If you got to throw it 45 times, we got to throw it 45 times today.
I think you're going to see much more likely 45 times than balance. Now, what I do also see is you're going to see a lot of Russell Wilson out of the pocket. And he's a good pocket passer. I think, in fact, career-wise, his statistics are better throwing from the pocket than from outside the pocket. But when you're going up against that kind of a pass rush, you've got to move the guy around. You can't let him sit on a platform and just, you know, wait for the pass rush to come at him, especially when he has that kind of athletic talent to get out of the pocket. So I think they have to have some of that. I think they have to have, you know, you'll play out the week, but here's my big concern about Turbin and Lynch. I covered Chris Carter, I can't remember what year it was, 2002 maybe, where he came out of the broadcast booth to play again, right? Dan Marino was working with him at CBS, and Marino basically said, hey, look, go down to Miami, take a shot at winning a title and see what happens. He played for a week or two, and he played one night, I think it was in Green Bay, and his body seized up on him so bad that he had organ failure and couldn't play the rest of the season. And I'm not trying to laugh at that. It was a very serious thing. He was really sick. He was in the hospital, right? And, you know, but this is hard. I mean, like, you can be incredibly physically fit, but to come out and play football and get hit that much, the way that Lynch and Turbin could get hit, and to take that kind of, you know, pain, I mean, this is a lot harder than people think. And I just don't know that I could expect a lot. Now, I'm going to run them, you know, 8, 10, 12 times and see how it goes. But I don't think you can expect a lot out of those guys in terms of pure performance.
Be interesting to see. Yes, I hope they're both at least upright at the end of the game, because Seattle knows they're going to the playoffs. Are they going to be a 1 seed, a 2 seed, a 5 seed? The Sunday night game should be great for that. Jason, great as always talking to you, brother. Appreciate it. Thanks. You know, we'll talk plenty in 2020. Thanks, bud.
No problem, dude. Be good. Happy New Year.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.